It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
The emphasis in this day and age is on ambitious and making something of yourself. You can't make anything of yourself. What you make of yourself is nothing. You haven't got the power to make anything of yourself. And even Jesus said, you know, of myself I can do nothing. You know. So, it's the Father within me, he doth it. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. You know, if you just savor that for a moment and realize that that's possibility. Because in the flip side of that is, you know, if there's an evil, then if good isn't there, then what else could be? And so we all entertain these strange thoughts, don't we? You do, don't you, entertain strange thoughts, even though you cover it up with a sweet and smiley face and cover it up. You might nice be a fat, nice, well-built, heavy-set, nice fellow, and on the surface you're very likable and decent, and is as decent as your fallen nature will permit. See how I said that? You're as good as your fallen nature will permit, and you have a nice beer belly, and you're jolly, and you know how to laugh and make jokes and do the right thing and be kind and all the rest of it. Ain't good enough. The beer belly is the example, and it's just part of being Santa Claus, having a Santa Claus image of yourself, and sort of being relaxed and good-natured, which you are. But something's missing, isn't it? But you don't show it. You hide it. You can't admit that there's really nothing really going on in there, and that you're really troubled. Maybe you drink too much, or whatever. You're too devoted to your family, and they don't appreciate you. Something like that. So I've finished off talking about fulfillment and gathering to yourself all kinds of knowledge and achievements, especially knowledge, because knowledge can be a very dangerous thing. As long as pride is being fed by the glory of it and the achievement of it and the attainment through it, it's counterproductive. So, got things backwards. Look, how can I put it? Let me put it another way. Good religion is never bad psychology. But good psychology is always bad religion. It won't go back. You can't study religion as a verse and chapter, or study psychology, which is part of the thinking process, the irrational thinking process. It's not part of the rational thinking process. There's no knowledge of that. There's not a book. Even positive thinking would be positively wrong if it's given to you, because then it's not your thoughts. You're thinking happy thoughts, and other people are given to you. But other people are given to you. That doesn't mean to say you're happy. It's just an illusion of being happy. So knowledge by itself can be a very dangerous thing. And understanding, if you would seek with all your heart and mind and soul the purpose for which you're created, then knowledge will appear and assist you in your purpose, or the purpose that is about to unfold. The knowledge will appear, but you can't, I personally can't sit in front of a teacher and sit all day long and remember all the things they tell me. Because the knowledge that I need needs to come in a special order by discovery. It's the wonder of discovery. So if the teacher plants knowledge in my mind and makes me look stupid because I can't jump through the hoops and get my degree or my certificate from school, the GED, I think they call it, I'm better off without that GED. I never got a GED. I have no education whatsoever. See? But I am self-educated, meaning self-sufficient, means I was, how are the word, courageous, bold enough not to worry about whether I was smart or not. I was very content with discovering things. I like that better than the deadness of knowledge. That it's deadening, because that's what falls. If you accumulate that and think that the knowledge is understanding, you are a great error. That knowledge will fall apart at the grave, and on the other side of that, you'll realize too late that you've gone the wrong way. You're made of the wrong stuff. Be right back.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Good evening for second hour, and I have a call waiting for me, and we've been philosophizing with you for the last hour and with the gentleman, and trying to tell you the difference between knowledge and understanding, and the right way to find happiness is not to look for it, but look for the purpose for which you were created, and then you can't find it outside. Somehow you have to be still, let it catch up with you. That's the gist of it anyway. If you missed that first hour, I suggest you listen to XM, which repeats the program throughout the night from 10 to 2 in the morning. And FHU.com, the foundation website, FHU.com. Now, the number to call on the program is 866-8883, that's an 800 number, 9 to 11, that's the live hours. And the website is FHU.com, and we're going to go to Victor, Sacramento. Hello, Victor, what can I do for you?
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I heard you talking earlier about, it's kind of funny, actually, you said that people go to college and major in mathematics and don't know what the hell to do with it.
Yeah, well, most people don't, do they?
It's kind of funny. I majored in mathematics, and I don't know what the hell to do with it. And when I heard you say that, it was just kind of funny.
Well, why did you take mathematics? What made you choose? Did someone force you? Were you interested in it, or what did you hope to accomplish through it? I mean,
I enjoyed it. I was originally going to be another major, but I didn't like it, so I don't really have a concrete reason. I was just kind of drawn into it. I enjoyed it.
Well, I would say if you were a physicist or something, or I mean, there's a number of professions that I'm sure it could be useful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an interest in physics, for example? Because math and algebra would be very valuable there.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you can help a physicist, because some physicists are not very good at mathematics. I'm a theoretical physicist. I'm not very good at math at all. I'm very bad at it.
Oh, really?
But so if a fellow like you came along,
uh-huh.
You could, and I could explain to you what I see, you might be able to put it in an algebraic term.
Yeah.
See?
Well, it's just a language. It's just learning a different language, putting it in symbols.
Yeah, I understand that. It's like shorthand.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see all those things, but the thing is, Einstein was very poor at mathematics. He often regretted having not learned it in his later years, and then when he realized how important it was, it became too important, and then that's why he missed the theory of everything. He had it right under his nose, but his preoccupation with mathematics robbed him of the insight that led him to the general theories and the special theories of relativity.
I heard he failed mathematics, I believe.
Yeah, it's possibly because he had a very cruel teacher who didn't like Jews. Yeah. And so, you know, I remember, and he gave him a very hard time. So when he finally graduated, barely graduated, he said to the teacher, why were you so cruel? And the teacher looked at him and said, because you exist. You know how they are, radical Muslims think of Jewish people. They want to see them wiped off the face of the earth. And the Nazis, in the same way, it seems like they've always been that way over the centuries. But the point is, he was a very bright man. And so his first early years wasn't so mathematically inclined. He was intuitively inclined. He just wanted to understand light. He missed his geography classes. He didn't want to go to all those classes. He was in university, but he was just for 7, 8, 9, 10 years. All he wanted was, why does light behave? What is light? And just wanting to know that. And suddenly it dawned on him. He had one of his epiphanies, and he had an imagination experiment. But the beauty of Einstein is, and all of people like-minded to Einstein, is that they discover. They're able to see where nobody else can see. Then later on, he would put that into a formula. He had enough knowledge to put that into a formula, into a, what do you call it? Not a formula. What do they call it? Equals MC squared. What is that? What do they call that? Equation. Yeah. Words don't flow to me. The mechanical words like that don't flow to me. Other words of understanding and depth, they flow to me much easier than words like that. Mm-hmm. Proper names and nouns. I sometimes don't remember them that well. But that's an important word. It's an equation. But he put it in equation. And later on, I got assistance from mathematicians to help him with some of his theories. You see, he needed help. However, what's more important is the ability to see far ahead, to see what nobody else sees, and to bring it down to earth. See, that's the secret. That's important. But then if you could open your mind to something, to invent something, to create something, then your math would be wonderful.
I wish I would have got that. What you just said, I wish I would have had that going into it.
Well, but the point is, you can have it now. Well, what's wrong with now?
No, I actually do. I actually been meditating. It's been helping me out a lot, actually.
It has been helping you?
Oh yeah.
It should free your mind from the worry. What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you get resentful because you're going nowhere with it. Because what use is it? And who's going to hire you? And you feel insecure. I think possibly the reason why you like math is because it's got so much order to it.
Exactly.
Those people are confusing. People themselves are confusing. And I think you liked it because it isn't confusing to you.
Right.
It makes sense, doesn't it? It makes a certain amount of sense.
It makes sense, and I can actually prove it to the other person. That
yes, and you can't prove how wrong they are, can you?
Yeah. And I can prove how right
they can. Any attempt you try to do that, you get confused yourself if you're not careful. So you're better off with your math and being happy with working things out. One on one always makes two.
Well, it's funny you start talking about the meditation, and another question kind of arises up. I don't mean to switch gears.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
This is kind of a weird question, but how you often talk about not trying or not having an expectation, but I think I might fall into a small sliver of a crack of that. Meaning, how does one get past trying to not try to make themselves better?
You know, the better you ask the question, the more you see your own answer. You see how you changed the way you said it. You were getting close to your own answer.
Well, like having an expectation of having no expectation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right? How to stop trying.
Exactly. How do I get past trying to not try to make myself better? I understand when you say, don't try, but then you can actually slice it a little more thinner, so to speak. How do you get past trying to not try?
There is no how. It's only seeing that it's only stopping quietly. So if you sit quietly, if you have some point of repose, like a meditative state, And what is a meditative state for? It is to let conscience or something catch up with you that you were running ahead of. Isn't it true that our mind is not ever still, it goes round and round, and we're always running ahead and thinking of consequences and trying to make something happen or trying to make not something not happen?
Every day.
It's always an effort. It's also all an effort of will. It all stems from willfulness. And that willfulness sets you apart from God. And that very struggle, that willfulness, opens, but setting you apart from God, you know, opens the door to mischief. It makes you suggestible. Because when you want to achieve something, what has to come to you is called knowledge, an idea, something to make it happen. You can't do anything without knowledge, can you? And the truth of the matter is, even in the perfect way, I can't sit behind this knowledge without this. I can't write a book without knowledge, intellectual knowledge and writing skills and all the rest of it. I need knowledge. But knowledge must be the servant of the spirit, not the other way around. See, so when you are ambitious and you feel insecure, because ambition is pridefulness and self-seeking. You seek knowledge to have knowledge to sit on top of a pile of knowledge to be somebody. And you want money, you want power, to sit on top of that power so that power empowers you, it gives you a feeling of worth. And so while you're working towards knowledge and the sense of worth, a degree, a respectability, what you can achieve through it, a nice home, a nice car, then you take pride in those things too. And then when people say nice car, you feel, you glow, yes, it is a nice car, and so on and so forth. You feel a continuous sense of achievement and satisfaction from achievement, which goes on forever until you find out that all of a sudden it's all kind of dead,
okay.
Disappointing.
So there isn't. I know that what you're saying is there isn't really a methodical way getting.
There's no. I like that word. There's no methodical way of getting way to go.
Right. So there's no way of getting past trying to not try,
okay.
But rather.
Okay. And now stop for a minute. And what do you realize from that?
That I can't do it like, you know, you do this.
Are you satisfied with that? Yeah. Are you realizing that to be true? Is it painful? Or is it say, oh, there is no mathematical or methodical way of doing it. There is a methodical way, but I don't know what it is. And I don't have the means to it. Because what you're looking for is to bring, what everyone is looking for, everyone who is like yourself and myself, is looking for the purpose for which you're created. But he who gives purpose is not going to tip his hand as to what that outcome will be. You've got to be, see?
Yeah.
So therefore you can't have an expectation for an outcome. It is only that you give your will over to that. So it uses you as an instrument. It puts the knowledge you need for the moment, the wisdom, the left turn or the right turn impulse, which is obvious. It's obvious you turn right. It's obvious you turn left. It's obviously you shrink from that person.
Okay.
It's obvious that you know, look at someone with quiet suspicion, see, and just wait and see, or shake hands and make a deal, or it's so many things are obvious, and it's those things that glow, and how can I say this? I'll try again. Let me have another shot at it. When your will becomes resigned to the purpose for which you're created, you feel a sense of peace. And you're happy just with that, and from that frame of mind, you have a clear vision of the world and the universe and people, and you see everything as it is, and you see that everybody's struggling like in a pit of slime. Pardon me, put it that way, but they are, and you watch it without judging them.
You know what you're explaining right now. I get the sense like trying to grab a hold of what you have to offer is like trying to grab a hold of a fish in your hands. It kind of keeps on slipping out. That's
yes.
How I kind of feel like every time I try to have a grasp. Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand. But what you mean? You say you're this is a metaphor in that you get it and then you don't get it,
and then it slips. Yeah,
it slips away from you. Yeah, but for a moment you get it. For a moment you get it.
Right,
and then now that's the most important thing. Now is this. What have you understood about achieving something, the methodical way of doing? What have you what do you know for sure now? And for such surety that you stop trying to achieve it, it just naturally doesn't. It's not important anymore. It's got to be to the point where it is suddenly that knowledge makes the whole idea of achieving something not important, and it relaxes you. And then suddenly you find yourself being true to yourself, and all of a sudden things start to work out on their own. Now, you don't know about this part because you haven't got there yet. But I'm telling you that if you can resign yourself to the fact that there's no methodical way, there's no plan to, because you don't even know what you're trying to achieve. And if you do know, you set a course for it, and that course is away from the very thing you should be discovering.
Right.
All you're going to do discovering, there's nothing there. But if you're not willing to discover it's not there, you set a bigger goal.
Yeah, that's
And the journey is always a distraction from the wrong journey you're making.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah, that's really subtle.
See?
You
got the point?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So it's hard to put these things in words, you know.
Yeah, it is. That's what I mean. It kind of slips when I try to...
Well, but in my own life, I've had to, since I'm a talk show host now, I've taken the role of a talk show host in order to use the radio as a vehicle to, you know, to philosophize people and help them. I have to use lots of words. I can't have silence. You can't have silence on radio, otherwise, you know, it's not good radio. So, but the point is I have to learn to find to fill the radio with, you know, with means and sounds and murmurs that mean something, so that someone perchance to listen to this program might, you know, catch a wisp of it,
mm-hmm.
like you did. Can you be content, young man, to know that perhaps that this knowledge, this mathematical degree that you have may very well have a purpose somewhere, and it does. There's nothing needs to go waste. If you are, for example, if you spend your whole life, years, studying the scriptures, verse and chapter, and muttering them, and find that it's not really taking you anywhere, you're just as empty and dry as you ever were, that doesn't mean to say that these scriptures, and I'm talking about scriptures because scriptures have a real value like math does. See, I'm making a comparison. The scriptures are beautiful. The ideas are pure and simple. Except if you learn them, then they become dry and wooden. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The letter killeth.
Yeah.
But the spirit, but it doesn't mean to say that just because you learned it and you feel dead from it, doesn't mean to say that one day, if you're searching, if you realize, oh my God, I'm going the wrong way, I'm just learning this verse and chapter, this is not what's meant, you know there's something wrong with it, then the very realization that you know there's something wrong is a gift from God to know it. Because if there wasn't a gift, a light shining in it, you couldn't know anything. You couldn't know that. There are some people who will never know that verse and chapter is insufficient. And they will die phonies. Soulless, spiritless, gutless. Sweet, nice people. But with no substance. In other words, they've been cheated by their minister. Like the Jewish people were cheated by their rabbis, weren't they?
Yeah.
In the old days, in the early days.
I've seen that firsthand, by the way.
But Jesus comes with a new knowledge. He says, listen, you do what they do and listen to what they have to say, but don't be like them. Don't learn the way they do. You see, he brings a new way of looking at things, a new way of learning by, I see this, A, B. You need the ABCs of metaphysics. What you need to do is, first thing is to be still. And if you learn to be still, with a meditation you learn to be still, separate from thoughts. You've got to separate from thought.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to put a little distance between you and your thinking, because you're not your thoughts. If you are your thoughts, you must know there's something wrong with that. If you don't know something wrong with it, it's because you're using thoughts as a means of confusing yourself so you don't have to know the truth about anything.
Right.
See?
Yeah.
So if you can see, so everything is in that order. Be still, separate from thought, and then you receive your marching orders, and you start to move and have your being without, it's just obvious what you must do, but it's always the little things, the kindness, the kind word, the ability not to over, to judge and get upset with people, knowing, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. It's a sense of knowing all that rather than just the verse and chapter. It's a sort of, it's a living of it. It is like a natural state where you are not reacting to people, not because you're not supposed to, because you don't know how to anymore. No, but you don't know how to get upset with people. It's taken away from you. Forgiveness and tolerance and endurance is in its place. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
The difference between the word and the living thing is the word is the description of it, and that's what you must find. And that's not easy. Only being still enables you to find it. If you won't be still, see, it means you can't, you won't find God. You don't want to, because the only way you can find God is to want to, is to want to know Him. But the only way to know Him is to, well, just to, how can I say that? The words fail me.
Yeah,
you must know that just being quiet, having a quiet mind and sitting meditating, the purpose of which is to let the conscience catch up and stop running. But it's a painful, it could be a painful experience because ego growth is the only way, the ego animal is the only way you know how to grow.
Yeah.
And it's the animal that hungers, the animal that hungers to want to be more and more and more, and the more you are, the less you are. The more of this, the more you are of it, the less you are of yourself. Follow that?
Yeah, I understand.
So it's like dying, it's sort of like dying, like Paul says, I die daily. You're dying to the world. It's like a death. In other words, you're not feeding ego with dreams of glory and worry. Huh?
The thoughts must reestablish themselves every day to live on.
Yeah, so it's in the moment.
Yeah.
In other words, the knowledge I have that comes to me, it's renewed and made more abundant.
Okay.
If I were to resign myself to intellect, I would die. I dry up. But if I say the same thing every day, out of an abundance of loving to say it, because it's a different person, and I'm not an actor on the stage, then it's a living word every day. It's not rehearsed. And then it has a different meaning, and it has a sense of growth attached to it. Every time you say the same thing to a different person or to the same thing because you have to be patient with them until they hear it, I never tire of saying the same thing to my wife or to anybody else. It's because saying it is the love of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the love of that person. You never get tired. You never get weary. And so therefore, the endurance, the small little things, the little tiny things that you say and do, and the many little things you must endure patiently, without frustration and anger, is what life is all about. And that it develops into a character. It develops into a seed that becomes a tiny shoot with a few leaves, and the leaves reach out to the light. And they grow more leaves, and pretty soon more leaves, and more light is observed, and then you become a mighty tree, like the mustard seed analogy. You know, like a grain of mustard seed, you become the smallest of all the herbs, but becomes the mightiest of all the trees. See? It has that quality has the seed of everything you shall be. Everything. It's a universal gene. We'll be right back. 866 Radio Roy, FHU.com. The show numbers are 5180. We'll be right back.
Did you know that stress is a form of trauma? And did you know that once you stop reacting to stress, trauma stops affecting you so powerfully, so negatively?
Since people are living in a dazed state, a hypnotic state, the only cure was to bring them out of it so they could be true to their own intuitive self. They were born to know. That's why I started the Foundation of Human Understanding, so that every person of every race and every color and creed can eventually find in their dissatisfaction with living the way to live a good life, a way of life that leads to life and not a way of life that leads to death.
If you're ready, Roy Masters can help you overcome every single difficult issue you face. For more information, contact the Foundation of Human Understanding by visiting the website at www.fhu.com or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227 or visit fhu.com. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? The answers are waiting for you at fhu.com.
There's not a lot of hoopla on this program. It's just, you know, straight from the shoulder. And I had a nice philosophical conversation with the young man, which is quite meaningful, I believe. And I do hope you understood it. And but there's something that prevents you from understanding. It keeps you from it, and that's called resentment, anger. And how you acquire it is not important at this point, but anger separates you from the ground of being. And even though you may have understanding, you cannot bring it forth. You can't bring it out. Anger short-circuits that. So when you get upset, you're reacting to the world outside you, and you tend to act out what you shouldn't. And the frustration is another form of anger, and it doesn't cure the problem. It only makes you more sensitive to the world around you, and you act out what you shouldn't. You get programmed by, as an animal, in conflict with your human, see? So if you can understand just a glimpse of what I'm saying, you can see that there's a remedy for everything, and you have to go to the ground of your being, that which you had, which you came into the world with, which you lost. Some of you may never realize you have it, but you do have it. You have it somewhere, something in your side. You can recognize what I'm saying and long to have to come from the place I'm coming from. And just appreciating it is really sufficient. Just appreciating it and say, wow. And instead of being angry, some of you are, you can just appreciate what I'm saying. And the appreciation is very important. And so, by the way, then, there's another form of appreciating this broadcast is to support it financially. Because if you've got a value from it, someone was paying for me to be on so that you could hear me. So you might want to join the ranks of those who do, so that I can go on doing it and some luckless person pass this program, pass the dial, and hear what is being said and appreciate it. And maybe, you know, please God, if I have a big enough soapbox one of these days, we might be able to help this country, because it's surely in need of understanding. And you notice I'm not making specific reference to any special religion or verse and chapter. I'm asking you to discover for yourself. See this for yourself. Only that's real. Okay, 866 Radio Roy, FHU.com. Call my office, 866 Radio Roy, and FHU.com is the website. Go there and read the article.
Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
As every mistake you've ever made is a result of your lack of awareness or pushing it aside to get what you want. Sometimes you know it, you shouldn't be marrying that person, but something says don't marry them. But somehow you want that person, and there's something selfish about wanting something, and even though they're unsavory, you can set that aside for some pleasure that it takes to have it. And then we've all had that hindsight, haven't we? But we've all had that foresight as well. Not always. Sometimes, you know, your life can begin with mistakes and realize that You know, it doesn't matter how much you try to fix your mistakes, they get worse because you don't know what right is. You may think you know what's right, but every answer that comes to you somehow is always the wrong one, and even though it looks like the right one. And even Solomon said the same thing, is the way that seemeth right unto a man. And then he has a bad ending. There's a way that seemeth right to a man. And to all intents and purposes it is. Now, who's on the line now waiting for me? Anybody? Do I have that caller? Well, just put him on. Okay, good. Put him on right now. That's good, because I was about to launch onto a little tirade. All right, we're going to go. Okay, now, John in Huntington Beach. Hello.
Yes, how are you, Roy? Nice talking to you again. I spoke with you about a week ago or so, and the topic was that I was very successful in my past, and then I would
sabotage yes.
myself. And
didn't I give you a good answer to that? That there's something about success that is failure, and you know it. And so when you achieve something, it's an ego experience, and it causes pain.
Well, when I achieved something, I was never happy.
I know that's right. You're never happy because it doesn't give it. You're very fortunate. And let me say how fortunate you are. If it made you happy, you'd become addicted to it. If you thought that was happiness, you'd want more of it. And to want more of it would to set another goal to have more of it. So it would act as so your life would be a distraction by working away from what's wrong with it because of the pleasure of achievement. But somehow, even to the worst of people, there's something not enough about it. You and I would say there's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
So you'd sabotage yourself, unconsciously you'd sabotage yourself, or you're afraid to become successful. And you sabotage yourself because intuitively you don't know why you do it, but you've got it. It won't let you. I think it's the love of God in you is the reason for that. But when the person does not have love of God, then he would savor the pleasure and think that, well, it was wonderful. I have to have more. And the more he has, the more pain he has. And the more pain he has, the more he has to have more to assuage that pain. And the whole life is leading to death. There's no pathway back for that kind of person. Lucky for you. You have a blessing.
Makes a lot of sense, Roy. But one of the things that was bothering me about all that is that I wouldn't be happy with myself. And you had told me that I would never be happy at one point, and then you have told me to meditate, and I have been meditating throughout, and I've been listening to you like every
yes.
single night since then.
Yes.
And I feel like I've made an opening, like I totally understand what you're trying to say when be still and know, but I feel like I have so much more to grow from that.
Yeah, but you can't be in a hurry. It's the journey, don't you see? Life is the journey. It's not what you achieve. It's just the journey. The joy, the whole joy, is the journey. The whole of it. So I just finished my thesis on, you know, how mass is made of gravity, spinning gravity. And I spent a whole year hundreds, thousands of rewrites over and over again, but the whole year went by, and it's a journey. I enjoyed the journey. And now I've got the results of it. I'm going to be talking to the physics association, the Lewis and Clark University soon. So, but that's another thing. It's part of a journey. I'm going to go there and present it, and that's the journey. And so, but it's not an end in itself. I'm not looking forward to it. It's just another stage. I know it may happen, it may not happen. If it doesn't happen, I'm not disappointed. And if it does happen, I'm not elated. It's just a journey. And the journey is enjoyable. There's no bumps. It's so smooth. What happens will happen. And if it doesn't happen, well, then it doesn't happen. But it usually happens a different way, the way I least expect it. It always, you really can't figure it all out because the play is written. The play for me is written. I know roughly what it is, but I don't know how to bring it about. I just go one step in front of the other as the moment, the occasion presents. That's all. There's no more to it than that. just is only living in the moment. There's no future and there's no past.
What I gather is it's just a very simple process of
very simple
today, living in the moment and making.
There's no frustration, and there's no frustration in it. There can be no frustration in it because you haven't got your own goal. It's not your goal. You have no expectation. I don't need any. I'm not looking for the kingdom of God either. I'm not looking for reward. I just love the journey. I love my assignment. I love doing it. But it isn't, I love it. It's just, I do it. I love doing it, and
that's what
and I love
I
the doing
feel.
Of it.
That's what I want to feel. I want to love my journey.
And yeah, well, then you'll have a nice car, and then you have a nice wife, whatever it is. Even if you don't, you'll have the journey of fixing her, helping to fix her. I mean, whatever it is, lies in your path. It's all for a purpose. Even your frustration is a purpose. It just teaches you that you can't of yourself, you know, be successful. You can't glory in it. Some people can, and you and me, we can't. And that's a blessing.
Is that the way that it would be for... Is that like a mark that I have that I will not be able to enjoy a success or just...
No. You'll enjoy the journey more than any success. The peace of mind that comes from enjoying the journey and not taking credit for it. Don't you understand why people don't see things simply? Would you like to tell me why people can't see, why people make things complicated for themselves? Because there's no achievement. There's no achievement in the simplicity and the beauty of it. They can't take credit for it. Their ego can't grow.
Yeah.
See? But if you have God, if God is the divine ego, so therefore, who am I to glory in what he made me do? See? And I enjoy the fruits of it. Don't worry. I've become successful. I'm wise with money. I'm wise with everything. I'm wise with my grandchildren. I'm wise with my wife. I'm wise with everything. But I'm not me. It's not me. I can't brag that I am wise. I'm given wisdom. I'm given everything in the moments. What to do, what not to do. It's like how can I say this? I'm like a sheepdog. I know only certain tricks. And the tricks are, go, come, go get them, you know, get the sheep, yeah. Bring them in. They know, all I know is just simple instructions. I'm a simpleton.
I see.
So what's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. But who could be anything before the Creator who made the universe? How could you be anything? You are just creation. And for you, a special purpose. You know what that purpose is? Eternal life or eternal strife? Pick one. A life of obeying here on earth and enduring trials and tribulations of people who won't like you for it. You get in their way. You're on earth and they think this is their earth. The wicked ones think this is their earth and you don't belong here. That's why the innocent suffer. Because the wicked are in control of the world. See that? And America is the best hope for it being otherwise, and we're squandering it, all of us. Drugs, alcohol, drink, booze, whatever, sex, you name it. Achievements, drinking, carousing, sex before marriage, I don't know, music, forgetfulness, glory, having a wild time, partying. All meaningless. Achieving, becoming, having degrees, being important, being somebody. There are failures at the top and failures at the bottom. There's no difference. Success is failure. Failure is failure. There is no difference.
Yeah.
But where I am, there's no success or failure. But I'm happy with it.
I think that's what I would like to have, is just happiness. Whether up or down, I don't want. I just want to be.
But where I'm going, where I'm coming from is forever. It's an eternal forever. It's not time. It's I don't live in a time, in your time. My body lives in your time, but my consciousness doesn't. But it's because my consciousness doesn't live in your time. I got knowledge of force thought about things. I can see things about to happen, and if I don't react to it, I can change the outcome. But I don't change the outcome. The outcome is changed. If I get upset, then the outcome changes for the worse. I've let something else steer me. You do understand, don't you, my friend?
Yes, I do.
Okay, be good then.
Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome. Okay, now we have another call. Byron in Yuma, Arizona. Hello. All right, we'll have 2 minutes to break. Ladies and gentlemen, just let me use this 2 minutes for an appeal. Do you like the program? And if you'd like it better if you called with a problem, and so I can delve into the depths of that problem. You see, many people who write about philosophy and religion, they write beautifully and are very inspiring, but I don't inspire that way. And if you ask me about a problem, I'll get right to the core of it very quickly, so 10 minutes is equivalent to 10 years of psychiatry. But better, because you get better in 10 minutes, as you can get better in minutes, or hours, or weeks, depending on the inclination, how ready you are, how hungry are you. And that depends on how, you know, that determines how much you appreciate what I'm saying. Sometimes you can hear me a long way off. Like the paper boy in the old Disney, paper, read all about it. You see, you hear him in the distance. And you get to read all about it, the good news. See? 866 Radio Roy. Would you please make a note of that number? And you might want to send a donation for our Patriot Outreach, because we do want to reach. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars now to make the website and prepare special materials for the soldiers, and we're distributing those CDs to them and no charge to them, and the website is full of materials they can use, it which civilians can't, but you shouldn't. Don't cheat, ladies and gentlemen. Go to my website if you want to get something and donate for it. Donations are not requested on Patriot Outreach. It's for the military. If you know the military and you know they have problems with post-traumatic stress disorder, please steer them to me or the website Patriot Outreach, or go to my website, you civilians, 866 Radio Roy and FHU.com. The phone number of my office is 866 Radio Roy, Pacific Coast Time, and FHU.com is the website. Thank you very much. Show numbers. These programs can be obtained. A whole month's worth can be 40 hours on one CD, MP3 CD, by calling the office. Show numbers are 5180 and 5179, these two, if you're interested. Oh, well, here we are. I got another commercial. I didn't realize that. I thought that was my commercial. I get absent-minded in my old age. Okay, all right. So, well, what can I say? I have some books, and the books will help you not to need books. And I have a tape and a CD, and eventually, if you understand what's there, you don't need me anymore. And I would like that. It doesn't mean to say I don't need your support, because it costs money to reach you, and someone, you know, paid their light bill so that I have reached you. So now it's your turn to pay your light bill so that others don't know who you are. But I'm on the air, and I've been on the air continuously for 48 years. This is my 48th year. I have never got tired of it. People get weary of me, say, oh, that's mean things sometimes. They misuse my material. They study me. They put me on a pedestal. I wish you wouldn't do that, please. Thank you. I just want you to listen to one ear goes out the other. And what sticks? Oh, I see that. Oh, don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to the words. Let the words go away. The words have done their job. That's it. Don't need any more than that. And then all of a sudden things get brighter. All of a sudden there's hope. And the light at the end of the trouble isn't the proverbial train. See? 866, write this down, please. 866 Radio Roy, that's the number, easy to remember. 866 Radio Roy, would you please call tomorrow, Pacific Coast Time. FHU.com is the website. You may download and cut yourself a CD. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, there's also a label you can download too to put on it, so it's a nice, clean gift to somebody if you want to give it to them. And give us a donation. If it works for you, give us a donation. Keep us on the air. Keep it regular. A little every month. And then I want to get to those soldiers. I want to help the soldiers, you know, to disabuse them of the enemy they brought home with them. I know how to do it. I just need to find them, see, and direct them to the ranch where they can stay for a while. We hope to do that pretty soon. Okay, with your help, that is. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Looking at the copy of my book, How to Conquer Negative Emotions, Realize Too Late, 30 Years Later, that's a bad title. How to Resolve Negative Emotions, and even that, because a lot of people don't think they have negative emotions. They think their anger is positive. Well, you have to be angry, don't you? No, you don't. You could accomplish things with grace. It's a different kind of energy, and it doesn't come from anger. You don't have to be mad to speak up. That's right. You have to get a good dose of anger, then you speak up, and it all comes out wrong. All right, here we go to Byron in Yuma, Arizona. Hello, Byron. What can we do for you?
Hey, Roy. How you doing tonight?
Oh, good.
Roy, I'll get right straight to the point. I'm currently working a job where I'm work 12-hour days. I'm commuting 144 miles.
Good Lord.
From home to work, yeah.
I used to do that. I used to commute 130 miles every day for 20 years.
Yeah, and it's wearing and tearing on me. About the only thing I do is eat, sleep, and go to work.
What kind of work is it?
I work for public utility. Why don't you
go closer to work?
Well, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm in the process of that. And
But why are you calling me then?
Well, because I'm way off center with God. I am.
Well, but let me. Okay. You're also ticked off a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah,
well,
yeah,
that's what's keeping you from really understanding what he's trying to say to you, because because you realize what you've got is a realization which is a godsend, realization that you're in a rut. A monkey can't realize their faults because they have no faults. They have no consciousness. Even if there were faults, they couldn't see them because they have no consciousness. They just do what monkeys do, and there's no guilt. Well, human beings have a monkey body, but we have something the monkeys don't have, a self within a self that can be given magical knowledge to bring forth, you know, televisions and satellites and airplanes and all kinds of wonderful things. But most of important, we can bring forth love and goodness towards another and have a beautifully fulfilled life, a purpose filled life. But the point is, and I don't want to get away from it, is that you realize that your life is futile. But instead of appreciating the realization of futility, you resent the consciousness of it. And we don't realize that that which gives you the consciousness is a good thing. That you realize the futility is so important. There's magic there, but most people, realizing it, get angry at knowing it, and it's the same as shaking your fist at God.
Wow. Yeah, because I've just been
Dude, let's just stop there for a minute. When you said wow, wasn't that enough? Did you say wow for a reason? Because something struck you and did something take it away right away?
Yeah. Something struck me. I never considered my anger being...
Well, anger has brought you to this state of drudgery. But then the drudgery itself has, you know, has a consciousness to it. But now you have a consciousness of both. You have a consciousness that you're driven by the wrong energy. And if you're driven by the wrong energy, it's the energy that has the programming for your life. So in other words, if you're upset, the programming is counterproductive to the purpose for which you're created. Did you follow that?
Yeah, definitely. How can you put that aside?
Well, you just have to, again, you resent knowing it. Therefore, you got a double whammy there. If you resent knowing it, it's the energy of projection.
You mentioned once before, I heard that sitting back and looking at it kind of like from a third person point.
Yes,
like
that's what it looks like. But after a while, you get used to it, so you don't feel that way anymore. It's sort of like you become, it's old hat. It's like going to Hawaii and seeing a beautiful scenery, and then, wow, look at the palm trees, look at that, look at the beauty. After you've been there for a while, you know, then you're used to the environment. It's the same thing as when you cross the border into a paradisical state. It's wonder. You see things like you've never seen them before, but after a while, it grows on you and it becomes you. And it's just natural to be that way all the time. And you're on your journey. And you'll be tested. And then you'll feel the pull of the world on you, but then you step back and naturally step back from it. That's first reaction. Not a reaction. It's an impulse to step back from it, and it goes past you. I must rush now. You heard the music. Ladies and gentlemen, please support the program. You have to, otherwise we just go south. And then I won't be here anymore. 866-RADIO-ROY. 866-RADIO-ROY, FHU.com. Nice talking to you, Baron, Yuma, Arizona. Nice talking to you, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned for more hours.
Did you know that stress is a form of trauma? And did you know that once you stop reacting to stress, trauma stops affecting you so powerfully, so negatively?
Since people are living in a dazed state, a hypnotic state, the only cure was to bring them out of it so they could be true to their own intuitive self. They were born to know. That's why I started the Foundation of Human Understanding, so that every person of every race and every color and creed can eventually find in their dissatisfaction with living the way to live a good life, a way of life that leads to life and not a way of life that leads to death.
If you're ready, Roy Masters can help you overcome every single difficult issue you face. For more information, contact the Foundation of Human Understanding by visiting the website at www.fhu.com. Or call 1-800-877-3227. That's 1-800-877-3227 or visit FHU.com. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? The answers are waiting for you at FHU.com. Hi, it's David Masters. How many times have you heard someone say, I'm in a rut? Do you know what it means to be in a rut? Let me go to the dictionary. It says a fixed or established mode of procedure or course of life, usually dull or unpromising. Does that sound like your life? Here's something else you may not know. Being in a rut usually involves a story of victimization, a story you've told yourself that probably isn't completely true. So then the question is, do you want to understand why you're in a rut? That's the title of my recent Sunday conversation at Tall Timber Ranch. And I'll guarantee you, you can't come away from hearing this talk without having a different way of looking at your life. It's item 7739 on CD or tape, $26 on CD, include shipping and handling. Or you can download it at www.fhu.com for only $10. To order, call 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours, Monday through Friday, West Coast time, or visit FHU.com for a download. Isn't it time you understood why you're in a rut? Visit FHU.com.